I asked the radium people for the formula of their compound, he remembered, but this was refused. Undark was, after all, a highly lucrative commercial property. The company couldn't share the top-secret formula with just anyone. Kniff was, however, told that no phosphorus was used and assured that work in the factory could not have caused the disease. His own tests seemed to back up the firm's assertion. "I thought phosphorus might have been in the paint and caused her trouble," he later said, "but all the tests I made failed to show it." They were, it seemed, still in the dark. None of this helped Molly. By now, the pain was excruciating. Her mouth had become a mass of sores. She could barely speak at all, let alone eat. It was horrifying for her sisters to watch. "She suffered such agony," said Quinta, "that it has unnerved me every time I recall it." Anyone who has ever endured an abscessed tooth may be able to imagine some small degree of her suffering. By now, Molly's entire lower jaw, the roof of her mouth, and even the bones of her ears might be said to be one huge abscess. There was no way in the world that she could work in such a condition. She quit her job at the Orange Studio, where she had spent so many happy hours painting dials, and was confined to her home. Surely, one day soon, the doctors would determine what was wrong and cure her, and she could get on with her life again. But no cure came. In May, Kniff suggested that she come in again to his office so that he could examine her and see what progress had been made. Molly limped into his office. The rheumatism in her hips and feet had grown worse, and she was almost lame. But it was her mouth that took up all her thoughts, all her time, and consumed her. There was no escape from the agony. She hobbled over to Dr. Kniff's dental chair and then leaned back. Gingerly, she opened her mouth for him. He bent over her and prepared to probe inside. There were barely any teeth left now, he saw. Red, raw ulcers peppered the inside of her mouth instead. Molly tried to indicate that her jaw was hurting especially, and Kniff prodded delicately at the bone in her mouth. To his horror and shock, even though his touch had been gentle, her jawbone broke against his fingers. He then removed it, not by an operation, but merely by putting his fingers in her mouth and lifting it out. A week or so later, her entire lower jaw was removed in the same way. Molly couldn't bear it, but there was no relief. All the doctors could offer were analgesic drugs that barely helped. Her whole face beneath her bouffant brown hair was just pain, pain, pain. She became anemic, weakening further. Kniff, even though he wasn't a physician nor proficient at the procedure, tested her for syphilis again on 20th of June, and this time the results came back positive. Molly would probably have been devastated if she'd been told, but many doctors at that time kept diagnoses from their patients, and it is very likely Kniff didn't tell her, wanting her to concentrate on getting well. She would have known, had she heard the news, that it couldn't possibly be that. But she had no idea what the real cause could be. If anything, she should be full of health. Not only was she young, in her 20s, but she had worked with radium for years, for goodness sake. Only that February, the local paper had declared, "Radium may be eaten. It seems that in years to come, we shall be able to buy radium tablets and add years to our lives." But for Molly, time, it seemed, was running out.